The Prophecy of Nahum by A. S. Copley. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Daniel 7, verse 16. The Burden of Nineveh, the Book of the Vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. Nahum 1, verse 1. Nahum is the seventh of the minor prophets. Obadiah is the smallest, and Nahum is the next smallest. He was contemporary with Isaiah and prophesied in the time of Zechariah, the king of Judah. His words are very graphic and awe-inspiring. Nineveh means the offspring of ease and is a type of the Babylon described in Revelation chapters 17 and 18. God gave to Nahum a vision of the end of this age and the introduction into the next. The cruelty of the nations against Jerusalem, their final attempt to destroy it, Jehovah's gracious interference and deliverance of Judah, and his final overthrow of the great harlot and of all his foes. These are described graphically in this little prophetic word. Jonah had prophesied against Nineveh 150 years before in 862 BC, and the city repented. Hence, it was not then destroyed. Nahum prophesied against it in 710 BC, and it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in 606 BC, when he became ruler of the Babylonian Empire. Nineveh had been the capital of Assyria and was then greater than Babylon. At one time, its infants numbered more than 120,000. Jonah 4, verse 11. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Nahum 1, verse 2. This whole first chapter, excepting verses 7 and 15, is a positive and powerful proof of God's wrath against his enemies. Verse 5 shows that he will visit the wicked with judgment at the close of this age. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. When it is too late, men will see that the wrathful God of centuries past has never changed. The Lord is slow to anger, Joel 1, verse 3. He has suspended his judgments since Christ came and bore the judgment that all men deserve. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit is now calling people to accept Christ's substitutionary death and go free. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Nahum 1, verse 7. Like a brilliant sunburst on a dark day, this verse is thrown in here. The Jews will have a special need of it at the end. They will be glad for Nahum, which means comforter, hint of the Holy Spirit. Their greatest day of trouble, called the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, is yet future. Antichrist foreshadowed. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Nahum 1, verse 11. That wicked counselor was Sennacherib, king of Assyria. He was a counselor of Belial, which means worthless, reckless, lawless. His predecessor, Shalmaneser, had laid siege against Samaria in 720 BC, and 3 years later carried Israel captive into Assyria. In 710 BC, Sennacherib came against Jerusalem with a great host, 2 Kings 18, verse 17, or by the multitude of my chariots, Isaiah 36, 24. Hezekiah, the king of Judah, prayed, and God answered through words of comfort by the mouth of Isaiah, and then by smiting 185,000 of Sennacherib's soldiers. The king departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh, and later Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with a sword, Isaiah 37, verse 38. During that time, Nahum had the vision. Therefore, by a study of 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19, or Isaiah chapters 36 and 37, we can understand the details of Nahum's account. But as intimated before, Nahum gives us a picture of end times. Accordingly, Sennacherib is a remarkable type of Antichrist. The seven climacteric years, This first chapter closes with a very cheering word to Judah because they will need it greatly. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Nahum 1 verse 15a. This may be applied to any faithful gospel herald, but its primary interpretation is limited to our glorious Lord as joined to his mystical body, the church. It is similar to Zechariah 14 verse 4, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. After the greater portion of the church shall be taken to heaven, the feet portion will be here still publishing peace. Therefore, Paul quotes these words in direct connection with the gospel as given to Israel in Romans 10, verses 15 through 21. Possibly they will be the company of saints represented by the five foolish virgins who will miss the rapture because they refuse the gift of the Holy Spirit. O Judah, keep thy solemn feasts, perform thy vows, for the wicked one, Sennacherib, shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. Nahum 1, verse 15b. The Jews under Hezekiah obeyed, and God cut off their enemy, but they will need this verse again. The tribulation days at the end will interfere with Judah's worship. The modern Sennacherib, the man of sin, will cause the sacrifice to cease, thereby attempting to put an end to the worship of the true God. Hence, Jehovah will encourage his people to be strong and do valiantly. Daniel 11, verse 32. Assuring them that the enemy's power will be broken forever. Thus, by the first chapter of Nahum, we have a bold introduction, typically, into that overlapping week or 7 years, Daniel 9, 24 through 27, with which this age is considered to end. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face, Nahum 2, verse 1a. The intimation of Nahum 1, verse 11 is resumed here. Sennacherib is the historic dasher. The Antichrist is the prophetic dasher who will stand before the face of Jerusalem with purpose to devour her. Hence the admonition, keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. Nahum 2 verse 1b. That they will do by crying out to God in their distress. Jehovah says, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, Zechariah 14, verse 2, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, Joel 3, verse 2, or whom the emptiers have emptied out and marred their vine branches, Nahum 2, verse 2. God will plead for his own by way of judgment upon their foes. As truly as he delivered them from the savage Assyrians, so truly will he deliver them finally and forever from all the nations, and in a similar manner, even by his flaming presence. 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 7 through 8 and chapter 2 verse 8. The shield of his mighty men is made red, the valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots are with flaming torches, flash with steel in the Revised Version, in the day of his preparation, and the fir trees are shaken terribly. The chariots shall rage in the streets, they shall jostle one against another in the broadways. They shall seem like torches, they shall run like the lightnings. Nahum 2 verses 3 through 4. These verses are a description of Sennacherib's army as he was drilling them for the conflict. The phrase, the day of his preparation, is sometimes applied to the present time in which our Lord is preparing his saints for the rapture and the world for judgment. The flaming chariots, raging and jostling in the streets, are used as prophetic of the present automobile storm. This application may be made without doing violence to scripture or to facts, but such is not the typical or prophetic interpretation which always should be ascertained first of all. Nahum is not telling us of our city autos. He is describing a scene far more serious than our activities of pleasure and business on wheels. Therefore, he introduces his prophecy as the burden, Nahum 1:1. A prophetic load was laid on him. He could not carry it in an auto. It was heavy on his heart. Nahum saw the soldiery and war chariots of the Antichrist. if the warrior's shield and the valiant soldiers themselves seem to be covered with blood, if the battle tanks and chariots of war appeared like flames of angry steel even in the day of preparation for war, if the battle drill and dress parade were so imposing and spectacular as to burn with bloodthirsty hatred, if Nahum's vision was only what it was only a picture of the final world war, and if the carnage of 1914 through 1918 was simply an earnest of it, what will be the actual international fiery, bloody, dashing, raging, splashing, leaping, roaring, insane, devil-directed final conflict? The prophet declares that the chariots shall rage in the streets in their battle drill as if impatiently waiting for the bloody dash. They shall jostle one against another. In Jeremiah 46:12, we read, "The mighty shall stumble against the mighty." So intoxicated will men be with a desire to kill that the broad ways will be too narrow for their preparation.